How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Thing getting you?
No. I'm just thinking about public reaction to all this.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to When It Was Cool Dark, episode number 336. I am your host, Carl Stern. Call me Dragon King Carl. I'm a pro wrestling historian, a classic rock music expert, and one of the co-proprietors of the website whenitwascool.com, your home for retro pop culture and more. We are in a series called 100 of the Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History. And no, you don't have to listen to these in order. You don't have to go back and feel like you're getting dropped into the middle of something. No, these are all standalone episodes where we look at some of the darker moments in pop culture history. This show, previously known as Dragon King Dark, has long changed our appearance. We've been a chameleon of sorts. We started out as a paranormal and podcast that examined science and faith and society and things like that. And at some point in time, we'll get back around to that too. We've been a website that has talked about a large variety of things, history, and much more. And I've been doing this series now, and we're well into it. We're almost three-fourths of the way through it, that I wanted to tie this really more into what we do at whenitwascool.com, which is retro pop culture. So I wanted to take a look at 100 of the darkest moments in pop culture history. Now, I realize this is a fairly grim series. We've talked about a lot of deaths and deaths of young people, young entertainers, be they musicians or actors or TV stars or sports heroes and things of that nature. And so I understand that this series can get a little grim at points, but we're going to get away from the death of things right now, so to speak, although the person we are going to be talking about today has passed away, but his death was... Yeah, he was older when he died, and wasn't a tragic accident or anything like that. He was actually 69 years old when he died, so he wasn't extremely old. But when I tell you who it is, you probably already deduced from the name of the sound file. But it's Jackie Coogan, and you may be, well, who in the world is Jackie Coogan? I'm sure if you're of my generation, you remember him as Uncle Fester from the Addams Family. And so he was a pretty well-known star from that. But he actually has a much deeper background in that. He was a child actor going all the way back to Charlie Chaplin's films in the 1920s. In fact, he was part of the classic film The Kid in 1921. He became a star. And it was only one of his later roles where he was Uncle Fester, so that wasn't even really nearly the first thing he did. And he appeared in many other shows even thereafter, and outside of the acting world as well. He had some real world, legitimate business experience as well. So this sounds like a good story, right? I mean, 69's a little young to dying, but he died not from a tragic accident or anything, but he had a heart and kidney ailment, so he died of natural causes. March 1st, 1984 in Santa Monica, California, and he had had a long history of heart trouble and hypertension. He had previously suffered multiple strokes, and he was having kidney dialysis and so forth. So, that in and of itself is not why we're here. We're here to discuss Coogan's Law. Now, if you've got a law named after you, as somebody who comes from a legal background dealing with laws and things of that nature. If there's a law that's named after you, something bad has probably happened. Almost in every case, it's not, you've not named a law because something good has transpired and we want society to, you know, reap the benefits thereof. No, something terrible has happened, and legislators want to prevent that from happening again. So what in the world is Coogan's Law, and how did it come to transpire, and why is it one of the 100 darkest moments in pop culture history? Well, Coogan's Law is actually officially titled the California Child Actors Bill, and the original bill passed back in 1939. So this has been a long time ago. So it was something so profound and astonishing happened way back then, somewhere between 1921 when he was appearing with Charlie Chaplin in the Kid movie and 1939, that it necessitated the creation of a law. I refer to a website called rapbook.com, and that's rap, W-R-A-P, rapbook.com, who has a really good explanation of Coogan's Law. A producer's guide to Coogan's Law was written by Loring Weissenberger this year, July 28, 2022. So let's find out about it. A producer's first time working with child actors can be a stressful experience, as if getting a production off the ground wasn't already challenging enough. Working with kids add to the complication of stage parents, studio teachers, and outdated child labor regulations to your already staggering workload. But with the right information, the process doesn't have to be nearly as complicated or intimidating as it seems. In this article, we tackle one of the most common sources of a producer's pain, the Coogan Law. What is the Coogan Law? Officially known as the California Child Actors Bill, the Coogan Law exists for the same purpose as all of the other child actor protection laws that you're going to encounter over the course of your production, to prevent the exploitation and abuse of working minors within the bounds of their employment on your set. However, Coogan's Law has nothing to do with traditional labor questions of how long children can work or how much do kid actors get paid. Instead, it fills in a crucial gap among other child actor laws by requiring that a percentage of every child actor's earnings be shielded in a trust, a Coogan account, that they'll gain access to once they reach adulthood. The Jackie Coogan Law ensures the financial well-being of child actors by mandating that their employer set aside 15% of the child actor's gross earnings in a Coogan Trust account where it can be monitored but not withdrawn by a legal guardian until the child reaches legal maturity. In other words, the Coogan Law prevents parents from burning through all their child actors' hard-earned cash. So you can probably figure out and deduce what happened to Mr. Jackie Coogan, Uncle Fester. The Coogan Law is short for the Jackie Coogan Law, and is named in honor of John Leslie Coogan, an actor and comedian extraordinaire whose talent made him one of the first child stars in film history. Born in 1914, Jackie Coogan was discovered at a vaudeville show when he was only 5 years old by none other than Charlie Chaplin. 2 short years later, Chaplin cast Jackie in his classic silent film, The Kid, an act that would make Jackie a household name virtually overnight. In fact, Jackie Coogan's fame grew so intensely that his image was used to merchandise products. And by the mid-1920s, Jackie had established the archetypical dream every child actor would follow. Jackie's mother and stepfather unfortunately had other plans. In 1938, Jackie discovered that the pair had spent the entirety of his estimated $3 to $4 million in child actor earnings without his knowledge. He was forced to sue his parents, recovered only a small portion of the overall sum, and fell into financial hardship. The focus that Jackie's legal battle brought to the vulnerability of child actors ultimately resulted in the 1939 enactment of Jackie Coogan's Law. So the California Child Actors Bill good intention for sure, to protect against greedy or monstrous parents and who have legal authority over minors here in the United States of America, those under 18 or 19 years old, depending on different circumstances. These children become popular, and, you know, how many television shows don't involve some number of children? Movies that don't involve some number of children, right? To tell a story, there's got to be almost always some children involved. So these need, by necessity, to be played by, you know, actors and actresses under the age of 18 or 19 years old. And so their money, the money owed, is usually, you know, controlled by a legal guardian or a parent. And as we've seen in many instances, Britney Spears' story is certainly comes to mind, even though she wasn't a minor at the in her situation. She was under legal guardianship, and there are allegations of substantial financial impropriety there as well. So these stories are not uncommon, not uncommon at all. We've all heard many. In fact, it's almost a meme of sorts, the plight of the child actor, almost seemingly the majority turn out with a sad story rather than a happy one. So this California Child Actors Bill is created really to protect the child. The current version of the law is codified in Section 6750-53 of the California Family Code and Section 1700.37 of the California Labor Code. The law provides that any of the parties may petition a court to approve an entertainment contract. And if the court does so, somewhat different rules apply. Most important, the child cannot escape its responsibilities under the contract by disaffirming them, which a child normally has the power to do. Later revisions extended the scope of minors' entertainment contracts that the court can approve and include contracts according to which a minor renders services as an actor, actress, dancer, musician, comedian, singer, or other performer or entertainer, as a writer, director, producer, production executive, choreographer, composer, conductor, or designer. Under the current law, the court may also approve contracts that involve the transfer of intellectual property. This law requires a child actor's employer to set aside 15% of earnings in a trust and codifies issues such as schooling, working hours, and time off. So let's talk about Jackie Coogan himself, how this all came about, why, who he is, and he's one worthy of notation for sure, a very outstanding entertainer for a number of years, and how this really unfortunate story came to be. As we've mentioned already, he was born in 1914, October the 26th to be exact, and pretty fitting that he was born very close to Halloween. Next month at whenitwascool.com for all of October. We celebrate Halloween all month long, so many of our podcasts will be devoted to horror movies, classic monsters. I've got a lot of Dracula content coming up for you next month, including for our Patreon supporters, the entire Dracula novel in audiobook form. Yes, it is a free translation of Dracula that I will be posting for our Patreons to download. And do check us out over there. And if you've never read the Dracula novel, it is fantastic, one of my favorite classic Victorian era novels. And I think you'll have a new appreciation for the character if you listen to the novel in its entirety, one of my favorites. So John Leslie Coogan, the kid is where he really made his name to begin with, 1921. It made him not just super popular, but he was one of the first child stars in the history of Hollywood. As we've established, he later sued his mother and his stepfather over his squandered film earnings and provoked California to enact the first known legal protection for the earnings of child performers, the California Child Actors Bill, widely known as the Coogan Act. Coogan continued to act throughout his life, later earning renewed fame in middle age by portraying Uncle Fester in the 1960s television series The Addams Family. Very classic show, very You know, very vaudevillian was that character, with the super exaggerated facial expressions and very highly animated physical comedy. You know, it's no surprise that he had a background in vaudeville. Coogan was born John Leslie Coogan in Los Angeles, California, to John Henry Coogan Jr. and Lillian Rita Coogan, our heels of the story here, our antagonist. He began performing as an infant in both vaudeville and film, with an uncredited role in the 1917 film Skinner's Baby. Charlie Chaplin discovered him in the Orpheum Theater, a vaudeville house in Los Angeles, on the stage doing the shimmy, a then popular dance. Coogan's father was also an actor, as was his younger brother Robert. Coogan was a natural mimic and delighted Chaplin with his abilities. Chaplin cast him in a small role in A Day's Pleasure from 1919. The following year, Chaplin cast Coogan as the abandoned child raised by his tramp character in the silent comedy drama The Kid from 1921. In 1922, Coogan was cast in the title role in Oliver Twist, directed by Frank Lloyd. Coogan was one of the first stars to be heavily merchandised. Peanut butter, stationery, whistles, dolls, records, coins, and figurines were among the Coogan-themed merchandise on sale. He was tutored until the age of 10 when he entered Urban Military Academy and other prep schools. He attended several colleges, as well as the University of Southern California. In 1932, he dropped out of Santa Clara University because of poor grades. In May of 1935, the 20-year-old Coogan was the sole survivor of a car crash in eastern San Diego County that killed his father, his best friend, 19-year-old actor Junior Durkin, and their ranch foreman, who was named Charles Jones, and also the actor and writer Robert J. Horner. The party was returning from a day of dove hunting just over the Mexican border with his father at the wheel. The car was forced off a mountain highway near Pine Valley by an oncoming vehicle and rolled down an embankment. So he darn near lost his life, the only survivor out of a very tragic car accident in 1935. But the story's going to get even more complicated. As a child star, Coogan earned an estimated $3 to $4 million. And in today's world, that's $44 to $59 million, not an inconsequential amount of money. When he turned 21 in October of 1935, his fortune was believed to be well intact. His assets had been conservatively managed by his father, who had died in the car accident some 5 months earlier. However, Coogan soon discovered that nearly the entire amount had been squandered by his mother and stepfather, Arthur Bernstein, on things such as fur coats, diamonds, and other jewelry and expensive cars. Bernstein had been a financial advisor for the family and married Coogan's mother in late 1936. Coogan's mother and stepfather claimed Jackie enjoyed himself and simply thought he was playing before the camera. She insists no promises were ever made to give Jackie anything and claimed he was, quote, a bad boy. Coogan sued them in 1938. It's a very sad story, the enmity between Jackie Coogan and apparently his mother and stepfather. That's a terrible story. That a mother would do those things like that and certainly have that view of her child who actually earned all this money for her. This is very, very tragic. I mean, she's quite the heel of this story here. Jackie Coogan sued them, but after his legal expenses, he received only $126,000, which was left out of the $250,000 remaining in his earnings. So I guess his lawyers got their share also. When Coogan went broke during the litigation, he asked Charlie Chaplin for assistance, and Charlie Chaplin handed him $1,000 cash without hesitation. The legal battle focused attention on child actors and resulted in the 1939 enactment of the California Child Actors Bill, often referred to as the Coogan Law or the Coogan Act. It required that a child actor employer set aside 15% of the earnings in a trust and specified the actor's schooling, work hours, and time off. So when we come back after this, let's find out what happened to Coogan. Did he, you know, obviously, the answer isn't he just didn't disappear sadly into the night and live as a pauper on the street. No, somehow he pulled himself back together. But there's much that happens in between. He goes to war. He tries some different occupations. Fortunately for our story, I think it has a as happy as can ending with a very talented child whose mother seems very hateful toward him, squanders his fortune. Is there going to be a good story? Is there a happy ending for Jackie Coogan? We'll find out right after this.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. whenitwascool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.
So Jackie Coogan pretty much goes straight to work, but out of necessity. So he's an entertainer, so he sets out entertaining. And even then, a lot of it is his work is for charity work. Coogan worked with Near East Relief. He toured across the United States and Europe in 1924 on a children's crusade as part of his fundraising drive, which provided more than $1 million in clothing, food, and other contributions. He was honored by officials in the United States and Greece, where he had an audience with Pope Pius XI. He was a Catholic, and Coogan was a member of the Good Shepherd Parish and the Catholic Motion Pictures Guild in Beverly Hills. Coogan appeared with his wife, Betty Grable. Yes, he was married at one point in time to Betty Grable, so very super famous wife as well, in College Swing, a 1938 musical comedy starring George Burns, Gracie Allen, Martha Raye, and Bob Hope. He appeared as a police officer in the Elvis Presley comedy Girl Happy in 1965. When It Was Cool flagship podcast, we recently covered the new Elvis biopic movie, which was tremendous. So good to see that Jackie Coogan had a role in one of those movies as well. In 1940, he switches over to radio for a bit. Coogan played the role of a Playboy Broadway producer in the Society Girl program on CBS Radio. He also starred in his own program, Forever Earnest, on CBS from April 29, 1946 to July 22, 1946. So just a few months there for that show. Well, we all know what's happening in the world there at that point in time. World War II is going on, and Coogan actually enlisted in the U.S. Army in March of 1941 after the attack on Pearl Harbor that December. He requested a transfer to the Army Air Forces as a glider pilot because of his civilian flying experience. Graduating the Advanced Glider School with the glider pilot aeronautical rating and the rank of flight officer, he volunteered for hazardous duty with the 1st Air Commando Group. In December of 1943, the unit was sent to India. He flew British troops under General Ord Wingate on March 5, 1944, landing them at night in a small jungle clearing 100 miles behind Japanese lines in the Burma campaign. So, no, he isn't just showing up there and doing USO tours. He's not just over there doing entertainment. He's literally a very highly intelligent man who is a pilot. He volunteers for the Army in World War II and volunteers for hazardous duty and flies war-related missions behind Japanese enemy lines. So, you know, if you don't respect Jackie Coogan by now, I really don't know what to say. He's a person who has gone through tremendous adversity. Yes, he's had fame. Yes, he's had fortune. But he's also had about an equal share of misadventure. And still, he is putting himself in harm's way for the benefit of his country. After the war, Coogan returned to acting, taking mostly character roles and appearing on television. From 1952 to 1953, he played Stoney Crockett on the syndicated series Cowboy G-Men. In 1959, he guest starred in a first season episode of Peter Gunn. He also appeared on NBC's The Martha Raye Show. He appeared, too, as Corbett in two episodes of NBC's 1960 series the Outlaws. In the 1960 through 1961 season, he guest starred in the episode The Damaged Dolls of the crime drama The Brothers Brannigan. In 1961, he guest starred in an episode of The Americans, an NBC series about a family divisions stemming from the Civil War. He also appeared in episode 37 titled Barney on the Rebound of The Andy Griffith Show, one of my favorite shows, which aired October 31st, Halloween, notice recurring theme there, of 1961. He had a regular role in the 1962-63 NBC series McKeever and the Colonel, and he finally found his most famous television role as Uncle Fester in ABC's The Addams Family, which ran from 1964 to 1966. And Uncle Fester was quite the entertaining character. Uncle Fester was a member of the fictional Addams Family. This is the role played by Christopher Lloyd in the two feature films we've had so far, and there'll be another one coming. Uncle Fester is a completely hairless, hunched, and barrel-shaped man with dark, sunken eyes and often a deranged smile. He always wears a heavy, full-length fur coat. Fester was derived from a character drawn by cartoonist Charles Addams. Although these were single-page cartoons with no stories or character names, nevertheless, the character is recognizable in a number of cartoons, both by his appearance and behavior, such as turning the shower into a special scalding setting, feeding his garden plants blood plasma, and releasing an eagle on the neighbor's homing pigeons. While he is occasionally seen with the rest of the family, particularly on anthology covers, he's also seen on his own more often than the others. He is sometimes indicated to live in a small shack surrounded by a wrought iron fence. Fester has the strange ability to generate electricity. He would often demonstrate this by putting a light bulb in his mouth, which would illuminate, accompanied by a loud, crackling noise. He claims to possess 110 volts of power in one episode of the sitcom, while in another episode he demonstrated his magnetic quality by levitating a metal paperweight up to his hand. When struck directly on the head by a fired cannonball, he appears only mildly dazed while the cannonball bounces off his head. Uncle Fester, at times, has severe migraines but appears to enjoy them. Fester relieves his migraines by placing his head into a large screw press and tightening it to levels that normal people would not be able to withstand. At times, Fester uses the screw press on his head simply for enjoyment. Despite Uncle Fester's menacing look and bizarre behavior, he is gentle and caring to everyone. He shows great respect to Gomez and Morticia. He has always exhibited love and great care to his niece and nephews, despite their frequent naughtiness. In the original sitcom of the 1990s, Fester is said to be Morticia's maternal uncle. His name rhymes with Morticia's mother, Hester's. But from the 1970s onward, he is Gomez's brother. In all adaptations, he is either uncle or great uncle to Wednesday and Pugsley. He is known as Tio Fatito in Spain, Tio Lucas in Spanish-speaking countries, and Fatide in France. In Brazil, he has two names, Tio Chico and Tio Fester. Very entertaining character, very memorable character from the Addams Family, and certainly the most well-known thing he ever played. But there were more. I mean, he wasn't just a typecast sort of act for him. He appeared four more times on the Perry Mason series, including a role of the political activist Gus Sawyer. In 1963. In 1966, he was a guest several times on the Red Skelton Show, appearing twice on The Brady Bunch, I Dream of Jeannie. He was Jeannie's uncle, Solomon, there as well. Also, Family Affair, Here's Lucy and the Brian Keith Show. He had multiple appearances on The Partridge Family, Wild Wild West, Y5O, Macmillan and Wife, until he finally retired in the middle 1970s. Coogan also appeared in the first season of Barnaby Jones in the episode Sing a Song of Murder. Now, Coogan was married four times, had four children. His first three marriages to actresses were short-lived. As we mentioned earlier, he and Betty Grable were engaged in 1935 and married on November 20th, 1937. And they divorced a couple years later in 1939. In 1941, he married Flower Perry. She died in 1981. They had one son. And they divorced in 1943. Coogan's third wife was Ann McCormick, of whom he married in 1946 and has a daughter by, and they divorced in 1951. Then there was Dorothea Hansen. She was a dancer and became Coogan's fourth wife in 1952, and they were together over 30 years, all the way up to his death in 1984. She died in 1999. They have two children together, a daughter and a son. The son, unfortunately, sadly, was killed in a motorcycle accident in Palm Springs, California. And as we mentioned toward the top of the show, his death was, while not at an advanced elderly age, he was 69 years old, was natural in causes. He suffered from heart and kidney ailments, died of heart failure on March 1st, 1984, at the age of 69 in Santa Monica, California. As previously noted, he had a long history of heart trouble and hypertension and had previously suffered several strokes, and he'd been undergoing kidney dialysis when his blood pressure dropped. Coogan was taken to Santa Monica Hospital, where he died of cardiac arrest. At Coogan's request, his funeral was open to the public and was attended by several fans. John Astin, Coogan's co-star from the Addams Family, delivered the eulogy. Coogan was interred at Holy Cross Cemetery in Culver City. His star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame is located at 1654 Vine Street, just south of Hollywood Boulevard. So a very entertaining man, to be sure. If you go to his filmography page, I mean, it is exceptionally long. We talked about a number of the things he appeared in, but he appeared in so many more movies. Obviously denoted Oliver Twist, but he was also in like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, and Kilroy was here. Buster Keaton story, Joker's Wild, on and on it goes. Sherlock Holmes in New York City, Dr. Heckle and Mr. Hype from 1980, The Prey from 1984. A very accomplished entertainer, to be sure, who, and it's very unfair and not right to say, who has a very interesting footnote in American enacting history with the Coogan Law. It's a very important law, and it was a very necessary but unfortunate, it had to be created, law that his mother and stepfather would treat him so dishonorably, and that legislation would be needed to protect others who found themselves in his same situation. So I'm Carl Stern, and this has been When It Was Cool Dark, a production of the When It Was Cool Podcasting Network, available to you at whenitwascool.com. This show is also heard at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, Apple Podcast, Amazon Echo, Spotify, anywhere you would expect a major podcast to be located, there we are. And we are produced because we have Patreon supporters who financially contribute to this show. Now, this is not a charity. This is not just give us something for nothing. Essentially, our Patreon acts as an access to our vault. If you become a Patreon supporter, we have Patreon categories starting as low as $1 a month, $1 for a whole month. Most people choose our $5 level because therewith you can get access to about 2,000 podcasts dealing with pop culture, retro pop culture, pro wrestling history, music history, TV, movies, comic books, publications, toys, much, much more, all over at whenitwascool.com. We got some other great third-party providers. We have a show about Masters of the Universe toy collecting that is a great deep dive into that, called Masters of None. We have another pro wrestling history show called Wrestling with the Dog. We have a music show called The Thrash Metal Show. We have a lifestyle and history show called Stuck in the Desert. We have one that looks at crime dramas called The Plot. We have one that takes on a variety of pop culture subjects called KZ, Life and Times with KZ, done by veteran podcaster Kid Zombie. That and much, much more. The What Was Cool flagship podcast, Uphill Both Ways, that we cover retro pop culture. We have so much there for you, lots and lots and lots of pro wrestling history. Won't you go to whenitwascool.com and bookmark us? Check out what we have to offer. Subscribe to all of our free shows. Maybe rate and review them on whatever platform you use. And then deep dive in with us. Become a Patreon supporter. We're really pushing for October to have as many Patreons as possible because we have so many special shows. It's going to be celebrating Halloween all month long in October. And if you've never read the Dracula novel, well, here's your chance, because in audiobook form, it's going to be dropping a chapter for the duration of it during October. So check us out. We have that and so much more. whenitwascool.com. And I'll see you here again soon with another show. Here's a soundbite from the When It Was Cool podcast from whenitwascool.com.
This movie never lets up for me. I like it through the whole thing. It's always kept my attention. Even though I've seen it a million times now, I just watch it, you know, nonstop. I don't know. I don't really have a favorite part in it. I like the whole movie overall.
I agree. It doesn't really drag at all. Like the whole thing is just goes through Forrest Gump's entire life, which takes place in the 50s and 1960s and 1970s. Hits so many, like he is, when you say somebody Forrest Gumps their way through things, that means they're just in the right place at the right time through just sheer dumb luck. You can get more from this podcast and many others by going to whenitwascool.com. And remember, support us on Patreon.
When It Was Cool is your home for retro pop culture fun. We feature hundreds of podcasts on classic TV shows, movies, retro sports, toys, history, music, wrestling, and more. Tons of free podcasts. And hit any Patreon button for a deeper dive into our premium shows. whenitwascool.com. Fun and friendly.